Light the beam, because it's time for Nerdy for 30, the podcast where we talk about nerdy-ish movies for 30-ish minutes. My name is Kevin Bauer, a.k.a. The Critic's Choice. With me, as always, the people's champ. You know him. You love him. It's Tim Keck.
Wow. Know him and love him. It's one thing to be known. It's another thing to be loved.
Mm-hmm. And if you get both, boy, oh, boy, you're in God's
pocket. Oh, my God. If you're known and you're worthy of love, that's really a beautiful thing, Kevin.
Yeah, I think most people in both of our lives are loved but not known.
Yeah, I would describe Rebel Moon as the opposite. Known, but not loved. And I would also say that all of the characters are not known, and thus I cannot come to a conclusion on whether or not I love them.
Ugh. Dude, I'm going to go in on this movie. Is there any other like setup that you have that you want to drop in for this one?
Or have we even said we're talking about Rebel Moon?
No, I don't think this we have.
Zack Snyder made a movie called Rebel Moon. It's going to be released in two parts. The first part, A Child of Fire, has already come out. We're a little behind the eight ball on this. I think it dropped in December. And part two is coming out in April. So we have more mediocrity to look forward to. It looks like a Zack Snyder movie. It feels like a Zack Snyder movie. And there's just no depth. It's very flat. And I part of me really likes it. And the other part of me is just disappointed that we don't get anything. But, you know, man, this has everything you'd look for in one of these movies. It's like a space opera. He's assembling a team to fight a war. And they're all like odd, you know, people picked up from different corners of the galaxy. Yeah. And you'd think this is what's that movie? The Fantastic Seven or something?
The cowboy movie? Magnificent Six or the Magnificent. Yeah, Magnificent Seven. It's one of them.
Yeah, it's one of those. I mean, this is a Western. This is a space Western that ultimately is a loveless story, a naked draft that we had the burden of watching and trying to be attached to. Kevin, what did you think of this movie?
Yeah, I feel like naked draft that we had the burden of watching sums it up pretty well. This is like a mediocre episode of Firefly stretched out for 2 hours and 15 minutes. You know, the only thing I liked about this movie was that it wasn't longer. When I realized that the credits were hitting and there was still like 11 minutes left in the runtime, I was like, this rocks. I thought I had 11 minutes more of this to sit through. It was the first time I was genuinely excited in this. This was so bad. So do you know the background of this movie? Why this movie exists?
No. I just assume the Snyder Cut is what happened.
I mean, kind of. Like, the whole... I want to check the numbers on how much of everything in the DCEU was just driven by bots, the same way the Snyder Cut was. Dude, it's like, these movies are like... This franchise is like George Lucas for anti-vaxxers. Like, this is like, it feels like it is a mediocre play on better things that is warmly embraced mostly by really toxic guys on the internet. Like, I keep trying to drill into like, what is so appealing about these? And I got to say, 300 fucking ruled. Loved that movie in high school. Have not revisited it. Kind of don't want to now. I just kind of want to like leave that in its pristine gym form. Honestly, you and I both, we're both like apologists for Batman v Superman. We both really like that movie.
That movie's great. I love Batman v Superman.
Really fucking dug it. Gotta be honest, dug it before the director's cut. I know everybody's like, the director's cut's better. It probably is, but I still liked it before.
Oh my God. I don't even know if I've seen the director's cut. There was enough there to satisfy me right away.
Tim, you're going to love it. There's even more. It's just more stuff that you're going to like. I mean, Justice League, Snyder Cut or no, just not delivering. Like, preposterous. Just completely preposterous. Man of Steel, very slow movie. I mostly don't like Watchmen. The other things that spun out. Watchmen, the movie adaptation, was fine. I will never forgive them for getting rid of the squid. The squid was my favorite part of the damn comic.
It is cool. I think it's a good movie.
Man, I think he, I think a lot of the stuff that he did, I think what caused like, the Snyderverse to really... Army of the Dead's... It's like fine. It could have been really good. Like, I feel like he's very similar to some things that you see from Michael Bay when Michael Bay isn't like trying very hard, where it's just flash. There's no substance. Like, are there competent action scenes in this movie? Absolutely. There are cool action scenes. Like, there's a couple fights that are dope. Getting there is a pain. I really didn't enjoy the process of getting there. And I don't care about any of the characters. Some of the lines in this are brutal, like absolutely brutal. In the very end, I think maybe the worst part of the movie is like the tag at the very end, where it's like, you're telling me that it's good news that she has hooked up with the genius battlefield general.
Yes, like, I hated that so much.
He's describing things the way Trump does, where he just throws random adjectives on there to try to push a narrative. Man, it's disappointing.
Dude, the structure of this movie is sound, but it is very, and then it's just, and then there's no therefore, there's no, but it's just, and then. And yeah. The premise of assembling a crew to battle and like a monolith of evil is a great premise. It's so easy. It's hard to fuck up. And yet they did. Kevin, I've seen this movie twice. I watched it right when it came out and again for this pod.
Oh, you watched
second
it again?
Time,
wow.
I kind of liked it. Like if I'm not paying attention and kind of like on my phone for half of it, mm-hmm. I can just kind of get sucked into the look and feel of it and not look for any depth. Now that I know there's no depth, it's just kind of a mood and I can kind of get with it. But there's no depth there. The characters, it's this woman, Cora, who I think the actor's great. I think she's awesome.
Yeah, she played the person with the blade legs in Kingsman, right?
Yeah, I think so. She's cool. She's good. I think that's, let's see, the main bad guy's okay. Immediately, we're hanging out with Gunner, who sucks ass. Gunner is one of the worst characters I've ever seen. I hate this actor. He's got a face that you want to put your fist through. I mean, I want to go bow deep in his teeth. Just this guy fucking sucks immediately. And so our introduction to him is that he is flirting with the main. He has a crush on the main character who is, you know, hooking up with some other guy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, this the lead. She implores, you know, that they're all on this farm and the lead is a member of this big army. Then she ran away and she found a safe haven and a home on this farm. And then this big ship pulls up and everyone on the farm's like, what do they want from us? And she is like, we cannot give them anything. We have to tell them, no, please listen to me. Please listen to me. Gunner doesn't want to listen. The tribal chief is finally like, yes, I'll listen to you. This is what we're doing. Gunner immediately, once the bad guys show up, undercuts the chief. His hubris and his greed gets them killed. He killed the tribal chief or whatever, the chief and his wife, and he's doomed the town. And for some reason, Zack Snyder thinks this guy has the goods that will win us over during the course of this movie, to the point where like one of the last lines said is, oh, he has the genius General Titus, and Gunner, you really saved us all back there. You did a great job. And Gunner has like multiple moments in the movie where you're supposed to be like, oh, wow, what a great guy. He saved this girl. Wow, that's cool. And it's like, no, he was an asshole. It's not like he made a mistake. He was an asshole. He ignored the main character who was talking. He put everybody behind him so that he could be a greedy, selfish prick. And he does nothing to redeem himself in my eyes. The fact that he's even still hanging around and isn't killed immediately by the soldiers is just Zack Snyder's a fundamental misunderstanding of how these characters present themselves. And I feel like he kind of does it with everybody. He's like a quiet Asian woman with swords. They're going to love her. I don't need to do anything else. We have the great General Titus. And I don't need to show anyone why he's great. We don't need to see Titus doing a goddamn thing, but he is the great General Titus. We are excited to have him in the crew. We have Torok, who is struggling with a hippogriff for some reason. And it is a hippogriff. It's from Harry Potter. Yeah. He saw Harry Potter and he was like, what if Tarzan rode on one of these? They even bow like they do in Harry Potter to like appease the hippogriff. And I do want to go off on Torok, but I'm going to pass it back to you. I mean, these guys suck. Gunner sucks. And from there on out, he just takes for granted that we're going to love this adorable group of misfits.
The whole crew, they're bad. Everybody's bad. There's not a good character in this movie. There's not a single good character in this movie.
The main woman, I think, is complex and her story is kind of interesting. And I think there's something there. I think there's also something there with the robot that is not in the movie. And
when you say robot, you could be referring to literally anyone in this cast. Maybe there's a decent story behind the lead actor, but any of the background, like any of the backstory for her, is explained like you're getting a side mission from an NPC in a computer game from like 2003. Like I felt like I was playing Elder Scrolls every single time she kicked into one of her backstories. I started playing Knights of the Old Republic for the first time, which is like an old RPG and it is dated. And they keep trying to get you to dig into this one guy's backstory. Tim, it felt identical to the way she was doing these background drops on us. I realized, too, I forgot to even explain the purpose of this movie. Zack Snyder wanted to make a Star Wars movie. He pitched this to Disney. He was like, let me make this Star Wars movie. This is going to be a brand new offshoot of the Star Wars franchise that I'll helm for you. Disney politely declined. You can absolutely see why. This is nowhere near anything they want anywhere near the Star Wars IP. It's crazy. It's wild that he thought it would work. It's wild that he pitched this.
No, I disagree. This, the framework, the idea of this story is exactly what Star Wars should do. We should, in the Star Wars universe, cut to a random planet we've never seen before. The Empire shows up. They're going to be back in a week for everything. And our protagonist has to assemble a team and an army to fight them off. That's great. That's super cool. I mean, it's the kind of shit they do in The Mandalorian, where he rolls into town and like helps the town do something. Like, that would be cool to see. This whole thing could be cool. It's just you don't care about any of the characters. There's a moment where they had Darian Bloodaxe and he's like, Jesus oh, man. Christ. And he's like, anyone else want to come with me? And then this person steps forward and he goes, Milius, why am I not surprised? And I'm like, well, I'm not surprised because surprise would mean that I had some interest in this. None of this means that I'm not invested in these at all. And then now we're just supposed to be invested in Milius because Bloodaxe dies. And we're all of a sudden supposed to be like, man, I can't wait to see how Milius overcomes this. It's like, I don't know who the fuck Milius is. You've given us nothing. Milius followed him. And Milius is like, oh, well, someone's got to watch your back. And then doesn't watch his back. And then it's upset. We're supposed to. I don't get it. It's everything here is like he's taking for granted that he already has everyone watching, loving these characters.
Yeah.
And they don't.
Well, it exists in this weird middle ground, Tim. Like, I think a lot of these bad ones do, like Aquaman, where it is taking itself seriously and it's assuming that everybody else is along for the ride in the way that it's doing so. But it's not taking itself so seriously that it becomes parody. Like at a certain point, the Fast and the Furious people, they know exactly what they're making. As soon as they go to space, they know exactly what these movies are that they're making. Every time
Vin
they
Diesel doesn't,
Vin Diesel,
but everybody
Vin Diesel
does.
Doesn't, but everybody else is in on the joke. Like when they have him give another speech about family at a barbecue after everything, it's hilarious. It's so fun to be along for that ride because they know what it is. This is so much closer to like in Aquaman when people are saying like Prince Orm super seriously, but not so aggressively seriously that it's clear that they're not actually taking it that seriously. Like, I need this to cross over to the point of parody. I really need this to cross over to the point of parody because at that point, or like just being a not even like an outright parody, like not trying to make you laugh like Austin Powers, but at least like a very dry parody. Like Kung Fury, if you've ever seen Kung Fury, I need this to live in that tone because then suddenly if you have someone show up And it's like, their name is Milius. And it's like, who are you? And it's like, I'm Milius. I love Blood Axe. And then they crush a skull in their hand and they're like, and I will do anything to take revenge. I'm all the way fucking in. That one description of Milius that I just did, I'm suddenly interested in that character.
And nobody gets anything like that. Also, these characters don't communicate with each other. So they're not building camaraderie. You're not learning anything about them. Nothing. I mean, I was thinking about Guardians of the Galaxy and how you each character interacts with every other character on the crew. Mm-hmm. You know who they are and you know what their relationships are with everybody else in the thing. You know, they do the Avengers. What do we have? We have everybody hanging out trying to pick up Thor's hammer. Like, you need those scenes so that we care about this stuff. Mm-hmm. Milius, why isn't there a scene with Tarik trying to talk to Milius on the ship and they're just killing time, you know? And it's just Milius is just obsessed with Blood Axe, worships the ground that he stands on and doesn't care about anything else. I don't know. That's enough. That's a thing. And then Tarik can be like, OK, that's crazy. Tarik, I want to go in on Tarik because Tarik fucking sucks. Please. Tarik is like Tarzan riding a hippogriff, right? And so he is a prisoner on this farm for some reason, the guy will release him if he can tame a hippogriff, right? So he does all this stuff with the hippogriff where he's talking to it. He's stroking the nose. He bows to it. The hippogriff bows to him. He jumps on and immediately the hippogriff does not want him there. Right. Is violently trying to throw him off, takes to the skies, is violently bashing its body against cliffs, trying to get rid of him, knocks him off. He jumps back on. And then all of a sudden, the hippogriff loves him.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, because that's what's because Zack Snyder's like, and then and nothing. No, he didn't earn it. There's no reason why the hippogriff should like him.
Nothing changed.
Or that petting and ingraining yourself with the hippogriff is enough so that you can immediately ride with him and work it out. Like, you immediately have a relationship. You either immediately have a good relationship or you have a rocky relationship and you slowly develop that into something good. And they don't. He doesn't do that. He doesn't get that. But still in my head, I'm like, OK, well, he's and then the hippogriff attacks the guy who owns it. And Tarok's like, great, this is good. Tarik is kind of what we know about him. He's always shirtless. He is playing into this stereotype we have of a Tarzan, of someone who is one with nature, who communicates with the hippogriff and has a deeper connection to animals. Immediately, we go from Tarik to a silent Asian swordsman who has to fight a spider woman. And she has a battle with the spider, which is cool, but seemingly unnecessary. And after it's done and she's killed the spider, Tarik goes, wow, that was cool. And she goes, there's no honor in this. And I'm like, Tarik, you're the one guy on here who should be taking the spider's side. Like, that's fundamental. Like, that should be your character, is that you're siding with nature, that you believe in nature. A spider woman whose whole story is that humans moved in and have polluted my planet and their pollution is killing my children. So I'm out for revenge. If anyone in the world should have empathy for her, it should be Tarik. And all he gets is, wow, that was cool.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I'll fix it for you right now. All they got to do is lean into it and go, Arch. He steps forward and he says, I'm a friend to all nature. I am one with beings of all kinds. And yet even I have to admit that was badass. They dap up. That's it. It's fixed. It knows what it is. It's ridiculous. Just be ridiculous. If you're going to be ridiculous, be ridiculous.
Or he tries to break it up immediately, or maybe he thinks he can moderate and he can't. She's too violent. And then he at least understands why we couldn't, you know, find a peaceful solution.
Yeah, definitely. But dude, that I wanted to bring that scene up too. All of the people are just standing there watching her have this showdown. And I'm just thinking, this is the most awkward shit that I can imagine. It's the exact same thing that happens when there's an improv scene and two people in the scene start really going off. And then the rest of the people are like, all right, what the fuck do I do? Like, they're all just standing off to the side watching this fight happen instead of helping or intervening or doing anything.
The main character is 100% capable of shooting the Spider Woman in the head and ending this all instantly. Yeah. And the stakes are a child's life. The spider is threatening to kill a child. And if that isn't enough of a motivating factor for the main character, whose whole thing now is like loving people and looking out to defend the little guy, and who's a great shot with her gun that they keep showing for some reason, even though it's really not that cool. Maybe it's gonna, I was like, is this from a parent or something? Like, why do we keep seeing this boring ass gun? It looks like it was made with Legos. And then they all just watch her do this fight. And the sword lady gets her butt kicked. Like, she's getting knocked around. She's getting bloodied up. And the kid is in danger. The only person who goes to help the kid is Gunner, who's a piece of trash and really is just in the way. And it's like he is overcome with emotion, has to save the kid, and nobody backs him up. I thought this was a crew that was supposed to unite and take out an empire. And they're all just going to stand there and watch. I mean, it's like the perfect antithesis to South Park, where it's just like, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then. Like, these are the script problems that I've had when I've tried to write something. And I'm actually, this is hard. You know, everyone's like, I could write a screenplay. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, none of this is connected for some reason. Why is that? And it's because, well, maybe I'm not great at this. Maybe this is something that you have to practice your craft for. And this is like a writer and a director who has made movies. He has made films. And this is the kind of character work he thinks is acceptable in these things. You can just tell he has zero interest in the characters. He has zero interest in the characters. And he just needs somebody to stand next to him when he's directing and say, maybe they should help him. Maybe they could help him. Maybe we could have like a quick interaction between these guys. Maybe we could flush some of these people out. Maybe we could, you know, just do a little something, because he just wants to shoot spiders fighting a samurai like in the streets and he slows it down. And the pictures look cool. I mean, it's like, yes, this is a cool image of a guy flying through the air with a spear to take out the biggest villain we've ever faced in this franchise so far. The guy who's just a gunner who somehow murdered like 500 people in your crew. It's neat. He's hanging in the air. That's great. But I don't care about this guy. I don't care if he lives or dies. It doesn't mean anything to me. I don't care about Milius because you haven't established anything. I mean, it's just such a botch. And I think if we like any of these characters, this is a good movie. This is a fine movie. If we like any of them, if we enjoy hanging out with the crew, this movie's fine. It really is. They just don't do anything. They don't have anything. Gosh.
I think I could like the whole crew in this still bad movie. This is like, there's just so much that's going so wrong here. So many really corny, just so many really fucking corny tropes, Tim, that don't really add anything. We're just cutting to random aliens for the sake of like, oh wow, and this alien's in the bar too. And it's just a medium shot of one alien looking dead into the camera for too long. This one has some Cranberries Presents the Did You Have to Let It Linger Award contenders for this year's Rennies, because there are a couple one shots of people that just keep going. There's one where the swordswoman, she is like, she's like preparing herself with her not lightsabers, and she looks dead down the middle of the camera, and she looks so uncomfortable as an actor. Not as a character. She is an actor, seems like. Maybe she's not sure if they're rolling or not. And that made the movie. Like, there's just so much going wrong here. So many weird decisions, so many weird jokes. The guy who is the prostitute in the bar, when they first get to like the old saloon, and he's like, trust me, by morning, you'll be begging for more. And he licks his lips, and then she kicks the shit out of him. But then he comes back as though he didn't just get the shit kicked out of him. Like, it's just.
Well, that I like. Really, that seems like a Western. Man. That seems like a trope. You know, guy gets beat up in a bar. He comes back with his friends, and then they all get beat up. You know, like, I can get that. I can get behind how corny this is. If I enjoyed spending time with any of these people, I think I would put up with it, honestly. I get what you're saying. It is sloppy.
Because, like, what's the corny difference? Like, I'm thinking about, like, John Wick, right? Like, John Wick 4, our giant winner for last year's awards show. Like, incredible, incredible movie. Mr. Nobody, introduced in that movie, one of my favorite action characters of all time. It's an incredible trope. It has probably existed before. This is, like, the most specific example of it that I can see, where his whole thing is that he wants the bounty on John Wick, so he needs to make sure nobody else kills him until the time is right. Wow. Like, yeah. Wow, I will follow that for a franchise. Like, what an awesome premise. His name is Mr. Nobody. He's a stiff actor in the role, but it still works because of the way that it fits into the world in general. So I think tropes like that Western thing could work. I think there's something that's falling through about this franchise. There's something that's falling through about this movie that's not making that a fun ad in the same way Mr. Nobody is. It's making it just look amateur.
Mm. Does Tarok like even ever say why he's joining the crew?
I don't think so. I don't think any of these people have ever had a conversation about what they're doing or why. The team has all the chemistry of a class project. Like,
it is where you're like, fuck, I'm with this kid.
Yeah.
We get along in class, but I don't want to do a report with him. I mean, Nemesis, I don't actually know. General Titus, I guess, fought against them and then lost everything.
I guess Genius General Titus, like, was
Genius General Titus even
in this? Was he like, I saw where he was like covered in dirt and they found him, and then I saw at the very end and I was like, what happened in the midpoint? I just whited out.
Zack Snyder treated General Titus standing up like it was Batman punching Superman in the face. I mean, it took 30 seconds and five different camera angles and some like uplifting music for Damon to stand up. And it was, and then that's it. That's all he did. He shoots a gun and that's all he is in the movie. But he is the brilliant General Titus. And we're supposed to be worked up about it. All you need is like him shouting orders or coming. You need him to come up with a plan at some point. Just come up with a plan and that's it. Then we're good to go. I don't know why Nemesis is there. General Titus, maybe he fought against them for some reason. Tarok, it sounds like, is a prince for a planet that was decimated by the Empire. That's what I got from this. And that's a great thing. That's a great character. And nothing. Tarok, I don't even think he says it. Tarok, when he's kidnapped, and the bad guy is like, they're all in those machines holding them. He goes to Tarok, or should I say Prince Tarok?
Oh, yeah.
And that's, and so I'm inferring all of this. Like, I'm like, this should come out. Someone there should give a debriefing. You know,
we already have
Charlie Hunnam should give a briefing on him.
We already have a hidden noble person on the team, Tim. It's a hat on a hat. Also, Charlie Hunnam can't do it because he's too busy doing the worst Irish accent I've ever heard. Is he actually Irish? Because if so,
that's
he
what I was wondering.
Citizenship removed.
I liked him too. I liked Charlie's the only one I recognized in this whole thing. I'm like, that's Anthony Hopkins' voice. And that's that dude from whatever that biker TV show. And the second I saw him, and the tribal chief, the tribal chief was great. But then Charlie Hunnam, I'm like, I see him and immediately I'm like, well, something is going to happen with him. I'll be honest. the whole movie, I'm like, well, he's going to betray them. He's going to betray them. And then right before he betrays him, I'm like, well, I guess that's not going to happen. And then immediately it's like he's whispering to somebody. I'm like, oh, OK, so that's it. That's the thing.
Insane. I thought at least it was maybe going to be like a triple cross. And
yeah,
he's going to show that he was redeemed. I looked it up, too. He's English. So him doing that accent is the worst thing England has ever done to Ireland. And I'm counting everything.
Yeah. Cillian Murphy has some words for him after if they ever run into each other. And Charlie Jesus, Hunnam, Cillian though,
Murphy should talk. He's doing a Robin Williams impression in all of Oppenheimer. Go back. Listen to some clips.
No.
I'm right.
Charlie
I'm
Hunnam. Right. Robin Williams won an Oscar. So it's if you're going to impersonate somebody, do it. Charlie Hunnam is the only likable member of this crew. He's the only one that talks to anybody. Him and the lead communicate. They kind of flirt a little bit. I mean, he's kind of the one asking each of these people to join. I was also like, shouldn't the protagonist like have an appeal to each of these characters?
Yeah.
Shouldn't she be the one negotiating with these people and brokering a deal and convincing them to join her? She does it with General Titus. And I'm like, why didn't this happen with everyone else? You know, Also, there's a moment because she doesn't convince Darian Bloodaxe. Darian Bloodaxe comes up to Gunner and he looks him in his eyes. And I wrote down, like, I don't know what he's looking for, but he is not going to find it in those eyes. That guy sucks. The actor sucks. And for some reason, that Damien's like, yep, I'll go with you. And it's like, why? This is a man who will sell you out in a second. This man's a coward. He is selfish. He's gotten good people killed already. God. And then they're like, well, he's great because he freed us, which, by the way, they're all in these like weird suitcase contraptions that unravel and like lock them up in like a prison thing, kind of like restraints. And then there's some gun thing on the back that you can put into the machine behind their head.
Yeah.
And
why?
And it either kills them or releases them immediately. And I just think if I'm designing these things, those should be two different. Those should be two different things. The one where it's like, I'm going to execute the prisoner or I'm going to release them scot-free. Those should be a little harder. There should be a greater distinction between those two. You shouldn't ever be in a situation where you're telling a guy, kill them, and he's just able to easily release them instead.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. So stupid. God, this is a stupid movie, but I'm excited for the next one.
Oh, God damn it, dude. No.
I'll watch it.
I'm putting my foot down. We're not
right
doing,
when it comes out, I'm watching
part
it.
Two in April.
I'm watching it immediately. We got to. I can't wait. God.
Man, do you think this movie would have worked at all better if it was a Star Wars movie, like an actual Star Wars movie?
I think in the hands of someone who cared about character work, this premise could be a great Star Wars movie.
Well, in that case,
it's just a Western.
The premise is Rogue One.
The premise. You're right. You're right. The premise is Rogue One. It's just a cross between Rogue One. And so we have our evidence right there. If they do Rogue One, people will like it.
Yeah.
They assemble a crew of like, you know, oddballs to accomplish a mission. That's great. And in the style of a Western, I mean, we've already seen Mandalorian do it. So I guess maybe it's all like trod ground. The idea of Star Wars going to a completely different planet with a group of people we've never seen before in that environment. I mean, that's what they need to do instead of, you know, destroying the legacy of, you know, George Lucas or whoever making terrible movies. I don't know. I don't want to talk about Star Wars. I still hate Star Wars.
I would much rather talk about Star Wars.
Star Wars sucks, dude. I hate Star Wars so much that this is refreshing to me.
Finish Andor, then we'll
talk. I'm not going to finish Andor. I just, we've been talking about the movies and like 8 and 9 and how the directors didn't even communicate to each other. The fact that 9 immediately retcons everything that was cool about 8 is enough for me to just be done with it. I'm done with fuck Star Wars.
Oh my God. Finish Andor, then we'll talk.
No. You know what? Make anything good, and then maybe I'll watch Andor.
Hold on.
You got to win me back before I watch Andor. Make a good movie.
The thing that's going to win you back is Andor. Watch Rogue One again, and then watch Andor.
Maybe I'll rewatch Rogue One because I liked Rogue One.
Dude, Rogue One's great. It holds up even better. This movie, not great. I do respect that he had a pitch for a movie, he was told no by the studio, and he said, fuck it, I'm going to make it anyway.
I do respect that.
I will back that. That's a cool approach.
And if you could add a blind Donnie Yen to this movie.
Yes, that's what
I think
needed,
this would be great.
Dude.
We need...
get rid of the Hopkins robot, replace him with a blind Donnie Yen.
We should do like some sort of a ranking at the end of the year or whatever, like which of the movies we watched would benefit most from a blind Donnie Yen.
Oh my God. Holy shit. I mean, let's do it right now. We got a minute left on the recording. Do you think so far this Night Swim or Aquaman the Lost Kingdom?
Oh my God, him as a blind mermaid or whatever it is would be great. God, dude.
Somebody who's blinded by the night pool.
Then he can feel everything in the water.
His senses are so acute. Instead of a staff, he's fighting with a pool thing. We're running out of time. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. This has been Nerdy for 30. Send us an email, nerdy430@gmail.com. We'll be back here again next week talking about the first X-Men movie. We're thrilled. Yes. That one's way better. We'll see you there. Stay nerdy, everybody. Bye.
God, I do love that movie.
Oh, man. So good. It's as good as this one is bad.